Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Dusty, a little shout out to the Mission Police Department this morning. They got that tree moved.
There we go. Nice work, boys.
And gals.
And ladies.
There's a lady I talked to this morning, a Mission police officer, female lady, was sitting in the Target parking lot. I'm like, we got this down tree. What are we going to do?
Yeah, Bob was afraid he was going to get a ticket this morning. Because I don't know if you remember the stories.
The parking lot.
If you used to drive through Target, they'd pull you over.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to.
You're such a rebel.
It's a quick shortcut to get to the Chick-fil-A, you know?
Well, I understand, but it's illegal, and I hope you get a ticket.
Okay. They're waiting for
I hope
now.
They ticket my wife when she does stuff illegally on the road. Okay. And the best part about it is now my daughter's taking driver's ed, so she is correcting my wife all the time
you
in the
love
car.
It, don't you?
And
oh,
I love
come
every minute
on.
Of it.
Yeah, that ego, yeah, dad.
It's great. Mom,
great.
You didn't use your blinker, you didn't do this, you know, all that kind of stuff. My daughter has her first job interview today.
Oh.
9:15 tonight.
Do you remember your
Whoa,
first job?
That's late. Interviews at 9:15?
Yeah,
that's late.
On Zoom. It's real late. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, for Twisted Sugar.
She better get
the cookies there are amazing.
Yeah, right.
She
yeah.
should just get the job for logging in and saying hi.
Her friend has a job interview at 9, then she has one at 9:15. I think another friend of theirs has 9:30. Like, they stack. The place closes at 9, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So
my first job was a bagger at Price Chopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicely done. What was your first job,
Henhouse.
Alex? Henhouse. Yeah. My first job was at ShopRite working at the grocery store in the produce department.
So if you want to get into sports radio,
go work at a grocery store.
Yeah. It'll teach you how
that's
to be.
The path.
Yep. That's how you do it.
What are you going to ask like 14 and 15 year olds in a job interview? So what experience do you have?
Oh.
None.
Have you met my father?
Yeah.
It's right. A job in itself. No, but in seriousness, before we get into Goldilocks, I want to bring this up. I asked this to Nate Taylor. Do you know who has the second best odds to score a touchdown this weekend in the Chiefs Falcons game? Number one is Bijan Robinson.
Okay. Normally this would be a Travis Kelce answer, but I'm guessing because you're asking me, that's not the case.
Good.
So yeah. I'll go ahead and say Xavier Worthy.
Carson Steele.
Yeah.
Starting running back on Sunday.
And yeah. I think that the reason why, and you can correct me because you're the gambling guy and you know more than I do on this, Alex. I think the reason he has those odds that way is because they feel like the betting public is just going to pour all their money on some random Chiefs running back because of the situation with Isaiah Pacheco.
I think part of it, we know the public always is going to go to the bigger number, right? So that's part of it. But I don't know how you guys view the backfield. I'm
committee
fantasy yeah. wise, betting wise. I'm kind of staying away.
Yeah,
a little
all
bit from,
the way I, away from it.
With Andy too, in particular, like who knows what he has up his sleeve. I think Carson Steele is going to get the most opportunities on Sunday, so maybe that's enough for you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it sounds simple that if they got the ball out at the 3 yard line, that he's for sure the guy they're going to hand to. But we all know Xavier Worthy could be coming through on a jet sweep or something. I don't trust it from a bet on an anytime Carson Steele touchdown. Maybe the yardage is the bet. You know, we can get into that 41.5 yards for. Yeah. Carson Steele.
Do you trust that the Chiefs could get 3 yards? I mean, like they,
no, they'll just kick the field goal, a fourth and goal.
In this incarnation of this offense, watching them try to get a yard is still one of the worst things to watch.
It is, but it's bizarre because we all know the interior is maybe the best in football.
Right.
We all, Tooney and Creed and Trey, like they're all great yeah. at what they do, but for whatever reason, this is a 3-4 year problem now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a little three-leg parlay just to see what it would look like with Travis Kelce because we all think this is the game, obviously, like, if it's going to happen.
Like it, yeah, like this is the breakout game.
His over-under in receptions is 4.5. His over-under in yards is 48.5. This is all DraftKings and an anytime touchdown. I put them all three together. It's weird. It's only plus 225.
So that might mean his anytime touchdown number still is minus still, money.
It's like plus 130.
It's probably because of that. Last week we were in here, we were talking about Kelce. And at that time I was like, man, we're never going to see a 50.5 on the board yardage. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it's 48.5. So it only went down a little bit, but he was so close. I mean, the penalty gets called back. Right. Otherwise, he's over 50 easily last week.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, is at, you know, an inch away from a touchdown. We could be sitting here saying, oh, he had 58 yards and a touchdown. Everything's cool. But, he did, you know, it gets called back, and instead everybody nationally.
But that's why you can't look at stats. You got to look at the game situations. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so wedded and beholden to the stats because they don't want to watch the games. They just want to look at the numbers and go, oh, my God, Travis stunk. 41 yards were taken away by an illegal hand-in-the-face penalty.
Yeah. Know? And so I want to get in, before we get into the Chiefs, real quick, tonight's game is Jets-Patriots. I want nothing to do with it because I don't know anything about this. I know that the Patriots, they got the surprise win in week one. Jacoby Brissett's still there. Aaron Rodgers can't throw for more than 170 yards.
And the Jets'
yards.
Defense is hot ass.
like me some hot ass. But I
maybe it's cold ass though.
I think it's probably cold
or just ass.
But like, what do you like in this game tonight? If anything, maybe the under.
Yeah, so I'm staying away from the spread. I'm kind of with you. We're, by the way, for those wondering, Patriots 6.5-point underdogs, and it has been the season of underdogs though.
Yeah.
This season. And if you're anybody that's been betting, you're like, man, this has been a brutal first 2 weeks.
Right.
I'm right there with you. In the NFL, it has not been the best. That's kind of everybody. The betting public is off to their worst start 2 weeks into the NFL season since 2003. So you're not alone. You know, if you're like, man, this has been brutal.
Vegas is loving them some Vegas right now.
Vegas has been doing very well. Underdogs of 7 or more points this season are 3-0 just outright. Not
3-0
even covering.
Straight up. I saw that number. That's crazy.
And through 2 weeks, and it's the first time dogs of 7 or more are above 500 straight up since 1983. So it's just been a rough start if you've been betting on the NFL for the most part. But tonight's game, there's a couple props I'm looking at. Rhamondre Stevenson, the running back for the Patriots, his over-under 64.5. Nobody has caused more missed tackles in the NFL running the ball than him. And on the flip side, to Bob's point about the Jets defense being ass, they're one of the worst in terms of tackling runners. So I think there's an opportunity, even if it's an ugly game. Rhamondre Stevenson's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Like you're comfortable betting, depending on where you can find the number. Right now at FanDuel, it's 64.5.
The Jets have given up the second most points in the AFC this year. And for 2 years, we've been hearing about how great this Jets defense is and whatnot. Oh, just get Aaron Rodgers back. Well, now they got Aaron Rodgers back and the defense got old. Like, people don't ever factor that into sports. Like, just because you were good last year doesn't guarantee you're going to be good the next year, because, you know, right off the cliff. And that's where, like, Sauce Gardner has failed to show up to work now for the first two games of this season. I'm wondering, like, if the Jets defense being that bad is going to have New England kind of stay around and be in this game. Like, they shouldn't be in this game. But man, this Jets defense is just gross right now.
Because of the underdog trend, you're seeing a lot of money come in on the Patriots to cover. Not necessarily to win outright, but because of what we just referenced. I mean, underdogs have been staying in these games. And, you know, when we talk college and NFL, that's the one thing to keep in mind. Like, 6.5-point spread in college football, right? Man, that's pretty tough to cover. In the NFL, it's very rare we see blowouts in the NFL.
Right.
Of course, there's been a couple, right? The Panthers in week one and in week two got blown out. But very infrequently do we see that actually happen. As far as the quarterbacks in this game, though, both of them just do not throw the ball down the field. They're bottom five in the NFL in terms of air yards and everything like that. So if you're looking at their passing totals, Aaron Rodgers, 215.5. Jacoby Brissett, 163.5.
Oh, my God.
And we know yardage is down anyway. I mean, hell, Patrick Mahomes was throwing for under 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting prop for me as well. Aaron Rodgers, if you think that there's a correction happening or not. But he might just not be fully recovered from the Achilles. I think he's been Mr. Checkdown so far, and I think both teams are going to want to run the ball. Breece Hall's great on the Jets side.
Yeah.
So this is a low-scoring game, and the total has continued to go down. It's down to 38.5 points, guys.
Wow.
It looks like it's going to be
Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be like an all-world quarterback for the Jets, I was told by the New York media, who are all Jet fans.
Let's dive into the Chiefs in hot Atlanta this weekend. It is 3.5 still Kansas City. I figured that number might have gone down a little bit more after that comeback win for Kirk Cousins on Monday Night Football. And I still like the Chiefs because I don't see Kirk Cousins winning back-to-back primetime games. Obviously, he just won his fourth Monday Night Football game and I think 11 attempts. I don't know, though. I'm kind of confused on this game because I know it's in a dome, and if I could have Binkley on the show, which he'll be on tonight, I know he's going to lead with Patrick Mahomes' numbers inside of the dome. But again, Chiefs laying 3.5 on this game against Atlanta.
So the line for this game, I think there's a chance we see it get back to 4. I'd be surprised if it goes down to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about the key numbers before. It's pretty. The half point's a big deal here. I mean, most NFL games are decided by 3 points or less. So that's what's a little tricky here. If you can find it at 3, or it's worth maybe buying it down to a half point, and so it's going to cost you a little bit more. So instead of minus 105, 110, maybe it's minus 130. That might be something to look at. The one thing with Atlanta, and I'm sure as you guys have just been talking about this game in general, Kirk Cousins, do we buy that last drive of the season, of the game on Monday night, has changed his entire season? For the team, it did. It saved the team season.
Mm-hmm.
But he even admitted he is not totally sharp, fully recovered from the Achilles injury. And I don't know about you, the defensive props I looked this morning, they're not there on FanDuel yet, but I cannot wait to see what's the number for Chris Jones to get a sack. You know, is it plus 110, plus 140. Carl Loftus, what's his sack number? Because Cousins is a statue back there.
Right, he is.
And,
yes,
and
yes.
We know Spags, whether it – maybe it's, maybe if they give us the Chamari Connor option. Like, Spags is going to blitz the hell out of the Falcons, and this is the right quarterback to do it against. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in some of the defensive props in this game. I think the Chiefs are going to get after Kirk Cousins.
I think they are as well. And I also think it's going to be a big week for Chris Jones. I think he's going to have multiple sacks in this game. It's going to be a big game for Travis Kelce as well. I think he hits all the overs on everything and has everybody shutting up on Monday morning about the fact that he's washed and all that kind of
stuff.
Sunday
Night Football.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's a big stage. Everybody's talking about it this week. He talked about it this week. He's going to the house of Tony Gonzalez, you know, down there in Atlanta. So I just think it all and without the running back and all that kind of stuff, I just think it all shapes up for Travis Kelce to go out there and have a big week. I think they're going to feature him. And, you know, you started that conversation, Alex, saying, you know, 3.5 points, most games in the NFL are 3 points or less. And we seemingly say that every week, yet we always seemingly see Chiefs fans that go, I don't understand why we're not blowing teams out. I don't get all this, like, the expectation for what you expect the Chiefs to do needs to be on par with what goes on in the NFL. They are the best team in the league, but everybody in this league is good. Every team is just a couple maybe players away from being great. And for the Chiefs to win games, it doesn't matter by how many points you win, you survive, and you advance. So I want to stress that, like, 3.5 is still a pretty big number in the NFL.
It is. Yeah. I mean, like, we would all love a nice, easy second half game. You guys would love it. You got to get up early the next day. You would love for them to be up by 17 with 20 minutes to go in the game. We would all love that. It's just typically not how it goes.
And even at that point, the game ain't over. You know, we see wild things in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what makes the NFL great. The whole witching hour thing is witching hour for a reason.
Right,
these games flip just like that. So
that's right.
The total for the game is 46.5. The Chiefs went over the total last week against Cincinnati. I think since he scored more than we thought. But I don't know about you guys. The defense for Kansas City, while the tight ends have been the story, giving up points to tight ends or yardage to tight ends, I still feel pretty good about where this defense is at. If you're thinking about that, unless you think the Chiefs offense is going to score 30-plus, the under is kind of interesting for me in this game. I still haven't seen enough from the Falcons consistently to believe they're going to move
the ball. Yeah, one drive does not change your perception. Yeah. They didn't score a touchdown in their first game against the Steelers, you know?
That is very true. Kyle Pitts is a tough one for me this week from a betting perspective, because on one hand, every tight end, Isaiah Likely and Gesicki, have both gotten the best of Kansas City. Kyle Pitts is one of the most overrated players in the NFL. Everybody's been talking about him for years. So is this the week the Chiefs actually buckle down on the tight end? Or is it, hey, this is what it's going to be, but they've locked down every single number one wide receiver? I mean, Jamar Chase didn't do anything. Zay Flowers didn't do anything. So am I worried about Drake London, or am I worried about Kyle Pitts? Who do I not want to let beat me?
And that's why the tight ends have been so big. And I think that's a great point. People will look, oh, they give up. Like, you can't physically take every player out of the game. You go into every game, and we talked about this, I think, the other day, Dusty. You go into every game going, all right, we're not going to let Jamar Chase beat us, okay? And if the tight end beats us over the middle, so be it. We'll tip our cap and we'll move on. Mm-hmm. But we're not letting Zay Flowers, we're not letting Jamar Chase beat us. And for two straight games, the top two wide receivers didn't do anything. You look at what Trent McDuffie has done this year.
He's awesome.
He's been on the field for 100 plays. He's been targeted 7 times, and he has given up 3 completions for 24 yards. So they're taking out the number one weapon. And when you take out the number one weapon, well, sometimes those ancillary guys are just going to beat you, right?
Yeah, and Kyle Pitts over under 37.5 yards. If you think the tight end trend continues, that's a pretty low number. And then Drake London, 60.5. So those are some of their top two targets besides, you know, Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
We talk about tight ends. What do you think's the safer bet? Kyle Pitts at -20 for 37.5. Travis Kelce -10 at 48.5, according to DraftKings.
I mean, honestly, probably Kyle Pitts right now. Even though I think we're all in agreement, this feels like a big game for Travis Kelce. But have we? What makes us believe that suddenly in coverage from the linebackers is going to get that much better? It has an impact on them winning a football game. But 37.5, with the way they've played against tight ends, I think they're going to say, we'll go ahead and shut down Drake London and Robinson more. And
right.
If Kyle Pitts goes off for a little bit, that's fine.
And I think you nailed it. Let's look at the college ranks a little bit. And I'm going to start with Kansas, because as I tell people all the time, Kansas is one of those teams like
washed.
You're either a fan of or you hate. But everybody's always interested in Kansas because they lose and ha ha ha. We love to mock the fans and all that kind of stuff. And then Kansas fans root for their team, and it's like meltdown central, right? Like, everybody has an interest in what Kansas does. What in the hell are you looking at from a betting standpoint this week as they take on, when they take on West Virginia this week? They stink right now, and their quarterback is even worse.
That's the issue. So I hate to give you this answer, but I'll be honest, I am staying away from this game for the very reasons you just brought up. I mean, how can I approach this game? They've burned me the first 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks of the season from a betting perspective, both on the total, both on the spread as well. And you said it, when you don't know about the quarterback, and maybe we do know, maybe we've already learned that Jalen Daniels is just not the same quarterback anymore that he was a couple years ago. But you couple it also with a brand new play caller who's been under the gun here the last week or so, understandably so, with some of the play calling. I think this is the game not only that decides whether or not they're going to cover the 2.5 points for your individual bet, but whether or not this is going to be a team that recovers and still wins six games, or if this is going to be ugly
like
this
the
year.
Mangino year, like after, or was it 09 maybe?
The
was
year, they started
5-0 and then pooped the bed the rest
the
of the way.
Game or whatever it was.
And then Mangino was too mean to play.
Pre-prime, Dusty.
I know.
Pre-prime.
Yeah, he was still missing toes at the time.
Yeah, but
what's his name was the coach then?
Dave Niehaus?
No, was that Hawkins?
Drew Neuheisel?
No, that wasn't. Was that Dan Hawkins at the time?
It may have been, yeah.
Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't remember. Like, Colorado's had 1,000 football coaches over the years. But I just look at like this Kansas team right now. You this is a big week, right? Like, are you going to be Kansas of the past? Are you going to wash those away and move forward? And you know it's desperate times, and fans are complaining where the offensive coordinator is calling plays from. If you get to that point of the season, you might as well find something else to do.
Yeah, that'll fix everything. Put them up in the booth.
It has no impact.
Yeah.
It has no impact where the offensive coordinator is. Andy's on the sidelines.
Yeah, but I'm staying away from the game betting-wise. I just have no interest in betting it.
Colorado, I want to bring this up. They're 1.5 favorite over Baylor at home this week. You stay away from that.
No, I'm actually on your Buffs this week.
Hey!
I'm actually,
wow. Riding back.
I'm actually on your Buffs.
Get him to go
week.
3-1, and then that's the last one of the season?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I figured that was the backside of that question.
This might be the last one of the year for the Colorado Buffs.
Well, they got K-State on the schedule. They've got Oklahoma State on the schedule. They got They've got Utah on the schedule.
I'm just naming opponents.
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying into KU right now, I don't know what you've been watching.
No,
I'm just saying in general, like, there's nothing to buy into right now.
Did you have Boston College covering last week?
No, what did we were on the under. That was actually one of the few college bets that hit last week.
And then this year, or this week, Mizzou and Vandy.
Yeah, so I like Missouri minus 20.5. It's a huge spread. But at home, I was very impressed with Missouri last week. They get down early, and by halftime, they were back up on Boston College.
Yeah.
They got punched in the mouth early. I was impressed. And as a favorite of 17 points or more, Missouri historically, 53-0 straight up. Since
53-0
straight up, and 30-22-1 against the spread. So, and I understand this is other regimes as well, but I think they're the real deal, guys. I think Missouri.
Yeah, they're
the real
good.
Deal.
They're really good. They're a really, 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 really good football team. But they're also taking on Vanderbilt, who has not been good ever.
Yeah, it's been one of the worst SEC programs.
And then the Wildcats at the BYU team.
So out west, you're dealing with the altitude. It's late night. It's actually a really good environment out there in Provo, Utah. BYU's covered each of its last five and three straight as a dog of 7 or more, but it's gone down to 6.5. Way back in June, you could have bet this game. They do these books in Vegas will do. They call them their games of the year. It's just the way they package preseason games, essentially. And K-State at that point was a 12.5-point favorite. Now, in season, they're down to a 6.5. It was 7-point favorite. So I think you're actually getting some good value on the Wildcats. This will be tougher than people think for the first half. But I am on the Kansas State Wildcats. I should clarify the Kansas State Wildcats here.
Okay.
What are the other Wildcats?
The Cougars and Wildcats, same thing, you know?
Cougars and Wildcats are the same thing?
Yeah.
I thought a Wildcat became a Cougar.
Is that right?
I don't know. If she's a Wildcat,
well, Vixen
then she
becomes a Cougar eventually. Okay. That's how that works.
Gotcha. Okay.
lost me there.
I did see a a good bet that I liked going through the Chiefs in Atlanta one real quick. Travis Kelce to score 2 touchdowns is plus 900.
I mean,
you'd be hoping for that first drive touchdown.
Throw a $5 bill on that.
Yeah,
or something, right?
Put some beer money on it, Max.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna hammer the house at anybody, but like I'm saying, like, if you think he's going to have the coming out party and you put all his numbers together and parlay it, it kind of dwindles it down a little bit. But like 2 touchdowns, Travis Kelce gets one in the first half. You're glued.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Travis, I don't know if you guys agree. He actually was getting open last week. He just wasn't targeted as much as we would typically. It's not, there's been a lot of national narrative like, oh, he just can't get open anymore. He's too old.
The national narratives on this team are stupid.
Yeah,
it's all about clickbait. It really is. Like, I was at this event yesterday, and they had ESPN on, and the headline was, "Three-peat in jeopardy." And I'm like, geez.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, he was getting open. It's going to happen at some point. I hope it's this Sunday night, but I'm not worried. Like, he's not suddenly only going to have 300 yards this season. We all know that.
Right. Right. But also, too, people don't understand this is load management. And this is the time of the year, the exhibition season, I call it, for the Chiefs, where they're working on things that they're going to use in January. This is like, let's see what Xavier Worthy can do. Let's see what Rashee Rice can do. Let's see what this guy can do. We know what Travis can do. And when we need him, he's going to be there. But this is the time to kind of work through some things and see what some of these young guys and some of these newcomers can do on this roster and see how we can develop them. It's more important to develop them than it is to get Travis Kelce involved.
Those are some of your Goldilocks. Before you get out of here, we did a poll question yesterday that we do every Wednesday, and it was, if you could have one time slot to watch the Chiefs, what is it, noon, 3:25, or 7:25? What say you, Alex Gold?
So it's 3:25. The reason for it is the red zone angle. I want load up the noon slate of red zone, then let me have standalone Chiefs game, and then I still get my Sunday night football game. Because I don't want to wait till Sunday night, which is what we're going to have this, but as many opportunities to watch Red Zone Channel, it's honestly the best thing.
It is.
It's so good. I know you were at one point, I feel like, kind of on the fence about Red Zone.
I was never in until last year when DirecTV got rid of Sunday Ticket, and I'm like, well, I'm not changing anything up, and I started watching Red Zone. I'm like, I know everything about the league in 3 hours. Like, you know everything about the league, and we were at the game last week, and I'm like, damn, I miss Red Zone, right? Like, you do miss that. So, for me, I like the 3:25 start if I'm at home. If I go to the game, I like the noon start.
Okay. Although, man, the tailgating was awesome heading into Sunday. Though.
Oh, yeah.
Has it ever not been awesome,
but
325, though?
But Bob, 3:25, it gives, I mean, people are drinking all day. Like, it's a noon kickoff. I'm not saying, we know people line up at 2 a.m., et cetera.
Right.
But when it's a 3:25, you're out there from 7 a.m. all day drinking and
damn
eating.
Damn right.
Yeah. People are having a good time.
What do you got coming up on C&G today?
Yeah. So we'll start with the Royals, I'm sure, just like you guys were discussing a little bit, and where this team is at with 9 games to go.
You panicking?
No, I'm not panicking. Because they have a playoff spot still, and there's a team that is still going to get past before they get past. If I'm a Twins fan this morning, I'm panicking.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that team, I mean, they just don't want it. I mean, they don't.
I don't know.
The Twins don't want it?
It's been given to them.
I always hate that, though.
Like, they didn't even show up today.
They didn't want it.
I always hate that. Like, those players just don't care.
Well,
like,
a lot of times they don't, though. At this point of the season, guys do check out.
Well, if I'm on the White Sox, I can't wait to check in for my flight for Cancun if I'm a White Sox
player. Oh, yeah, you've already counted down the days.